afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 17th. Irish Day for everybody.
And no, I'm not pinching you.
No. Not just today. But we are both wearing olive, so I think we're both safe.
Olive drab?
Yes, we come from the Greek part of Ireland.
I don't think that's the one. I think that's the one heritage I have none of is Irish.
Oh, I was thinking Greek.
Yeah, that either.
Yeah. Well, then you're double covered. No, I'm just German. Nothing fancy. Just same old, same old. But we do have corned beef going at home. Do you guys?
No.
Do you do any of the Irish stuff?
We don't.
None.
We're boring.
Apparently. But we're not going to talk about Irish cuisine today. No, we're going to talk about 10 years. Where did it all go? We'll go on the hunt when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mr. Dalby. I'm just seeing a piece of paper hanging out from the clock. It's kind of like, you know, something stuck to somebody's shoe as they're walking around the restaurant. I want to pull it off or do something.
You know, the people at the other end of this microphone can't see the clock.
That was the distraction that I had. Instead of having the laser-like quality and focus that I normally do, I was a little distracted. Wasn't off my game.
Can we get back to your laser light, whatever that
you
is?
You betcha.
Yeah.
My laser. Me and my laser. Our quote this afternoon comes from Elizabeth. No, it doesn't. It comes from Suzanne Heller in the book Misery. 1964, quote, "Misery is when you make your bed and then your mother tells you it's the day she's changing the sheets." That was good for like a 30-second discussion during the break.
That's right.
Give me that hard line look.
That has never happened in my house.
Yeah. So, you've been the bank dude now for over 10 years. Your own bank dude for that length of time.
A week from today, we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of the opening of the bank.
Well, okay. As long as we're celebrating anniversaries. Guess what is April 1st?
April Fool's Day.
True. And?
I would guess it would be your birthday?
No.
What?
No. Talk shop.
What, really?
That will be...
That explains a great deal,
yeah.
Brian.
We will start the 33rd year. 33rd year, yeah.
Wow.
Don't I feel chipper and young? Should have done an age quote.
If only you look chipper. And
yeah,
young.
Yeah. Well, chipper and Dale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 10 years. I would imagine when you started hatching this egg that there have been a couple of things in there that you have not anticipated. So if you went back 10 and a half years ago and could make some fine-tuning adjustments, at least, or to the projected, to the long-term plans, to the short-term, to some of the different things that have popped up in that interim, what would they have been?
You know, during the formation, the first thing that jumps out is during the formation of the bank, we had consultants telling us what we could not do, and they were extremely conservative. And so we, you know, having our current staff we ended up with, you know, originally they said we're not approvable by the regulators, but we ended up, you know, after, you know, going the full circle with exactly what we wanted. So, you know, I probably would have followed what I thought a little more and a little less where our consultants told us we had to do, but
and you, were knowledgeable going in, and your initial core group was pretty knowledgeable also.
Yeah, we had some really good quality people when we started the bank, and we still do.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not quality anymore. Yeah.
But yeah, very fortunate to have the group that we did. The board has been absolutely fantastic. Very, very supportive. Our originating
same board?
Group. We've lost of the original board members, three. Two have moved out of the area and one retired. And so we still have eight original.
So it's true you can be bored and retired?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So we still have, nine original board members. Nine of the original 12 are still on board. And we've added two. So we're back up to 11, but we haven't got back to the full 12.
In the selection process of who your initial crew was, did you fill in all the blanks? Would, if done differently, would you have had another position or two in play?
I would have probably, other than streamlining the process to get to where we were, I would have ended up right where we are. I don't have any regrets with the people that are involved. Of course, I got to say that because they're my bosses. But no, really, we have a great board, and they have just really put a lot of effort into it. They continue to be absolutely engaged as they were from day one, reading their packages. I mean, our directors, for example, the majority of them attend over 70 meetings a year. That's a lot of preparation, a lot of time, a lot of commitment.
I'm still trying to work through the process with some of the guys that I know. You said that they read.
Yeah.
That's kind of sticking on me here a little bit. The regulatory processes that you had to go through in the formation, if you were starting a new bank today, how much more onerous are the regulatory preparation things that you go through because of some of the weird stuff that's happened in the 10 years?
There hasn't been, I can't answer that question because there hasn't been a true de novo startup bank since 2009, I think. Or 2007, excuse me, 2007. Because of the economy and because of the change in the industry, there aren't the rewards out there for starting a bank that there used to be. And the other issue is there aren't the bankers anymore to start the banks. And what I mean by that is the big banks used to train people. They don't do that anymore.
They just run over them? KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital, who's almost 10 years old.
Something like that. Yeah, I wish I was only 10 years old.
Move those things around a little bit. Yeah. Wouldn't life be weird then, huh? So, John, in the 10 years of Redwood Capital's existence, obviously things have changed in the marketplace. Obviously things have changed in the regulatory financial place. The national scene has changed significantly also. How has that changed the way the business is done year 10 versus year one?
Well, when we started, which was pre-recession, it was much easier to be profitable as a bank. It was margins were bigger, compliance costs were less, FDIC insurance costs were less, capital requirements were less. You just go down the pike, and everything was easier. And so that's why you saw so many banks starting up, because there's a way to be very profitable and get a return for your shareholders. The biggest change now is, if you want to call it survival of the fittest, you have to be smarter than you were in 2004 to be profitable today. And that's why we saw so many banks disappear throughout the recession. And that's why we're not seeing new banks starting today.
Were they dumb, or was it tradition that got in the way of those institutions being able to operate smarter?
So are you talking about the banks that failed?
Yeah, the ones that don't exist
anymore.
The ones
that don't exist had strategic plans, and they had a business plan in which they took on too much risk. And what a banker does is really we manage risk. And so we manage credit risk, we manage interest rate risk, we manage capital risk, liquidity risk, reputational risk. You just go down the line, and everything we do, you have to think about what does this do to my risk profile? And there were banks that took a lot of shortcuts in building their balance sheets that created something that could fall very easily. And so early on, our board took on the strategy of building what we call a fortress balance sheet, so one that would stand up in difficult times. And indeed, we were challenged with that in 2007, and we're one of the banks that came out the other end.
Of the tunnel.
Of the recession.
Yeah, okay.
And no, it wasn't a freight train.
No. That life. The concept of doing it smarter, I think, is something that I think a lot of businesses will try to do. Is banking a business?
Absolutely, banking's a business. If I was thinking about this earlier today as I was reflecting back on 10 years, and that sounds interesting.
You sound like you've got a lot of gray hair.
Really, we didn't build our bank on numbers. We built our bank on relationships. And that's really what, it's about. Banking is a people business. And in many ways, we help businesses succeed. And we partner with them. And if they succeed, we succeed. And if they fail, then we have challenges. Yes, absolutely, we're a business. And we're in the business of, for the most part, helping other businesses.
Where does the community fall into that?
That's at the core of why we exist, is especially in Humboldt County, let me give you an example. There's $1.6 billion of FDIC-insured deposits residing in Humboldt County. Of that, only a little less than 10% is controlled locally. It's over 10%. We've grown. So a little over 10% is controlled locally, which means the majority of our capital is being taken from our community and invested in other communities for commerce and building things there, as opposed to putting the money into our own community. And so it's very important that a isolated community like Humboldt County has a community bank, because we invest locally in our loans and so forth, as opposed to taking them elsewhere.
Now, if we were a non-stagnant economy, would those dollars potentially be flowing into Humboldt County from some of these other options that are out there that are not local?
That's a really good question. And what you're talking about is the branch bank system, which was invented by sorry, you distract. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, the answer to your question is yes. If we had more demand for loans, then the large banking system would actually bring capital to us. But because of our current situation, it takes capital out of the community.
So if your community is growing, it'll accelerate it. If your county or your community is holding its breath, as we are, no
it
interest.
It detracts from it, correct.
Okay. I like the phrase I used.
Which was?
No interest.
No interest.
Yeah. Okay, I'll work on bank puns during the break, okay?
I'm looking forward to
oh,
that.
Oh, boy, I know everybody else is, too. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:36. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital. Soon to celebrate 10. I guess you're kind of starting already. I haven't seen the cookies and the cake, though. But
well, we will
close.
Have, just so you know, for the celebration on this Thursday after work, 5:30, we'll be hosting the Chamber Mixer at Redwood Capital in Eureka. And you're all invited to attend that event. And
you hear that? Everybody's invited.
Come on down.
Cake. Let's see if we can fill the joint and flood out in the parking lot.
Cake, food, and...
Cake is food for some of us.
Yeah, cake and food. So, yeah, but that's somewhat redundant, I understand.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do we get to see the dungeon?
No, we're the dungeon's full of offices now, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've actually outgrown that building, and that's one of the next challenges we'll have is how we're going to deal with the fact that our building isn't big enough anymore.
I understand that there's a lot of commercial and available rental space in Eureka right now.
Yes, there is.
I bet you won't have a tough time finding somewhere.
Yeah, finding the space is not as hard as, you know, how we're going to
figure it out, how to use it.
Divide things up, yeah, exactly.
Well, I had heard that the staff was kind of already putting together some preliminary plans and that Dalby was going to be located off-site.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you where they'd like to see me.
Yeah, well, does it have anything to do with the tidal zone?
Anchor around the ankle, something like that. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, let's see if this liquefaction thing is more than theory. Certainly, John, the business environment has changed also. Has that been a challenge over the 10 years to keep the business loans and the portfolios as healthy as what you guys had kind of put together in your initial planning stages?
Yeah, the regulatory environment's been really interesting through the period of time that we went through. initially, as we went into it, there was a good balance of funding, money for funding loans and loan demand. Then as we went into the recession, the regulators put some things in place that made deposits go away, but loan demand was high, and so we had to actually allocate loans for a period of time. Excuse me. And then later on, then it completely reversed, and there was this abundance of funds. Of course, that's because they're creating money everywhere. And loan demand went down. So we're now seeing it starting to equalize again, and loan demand is getting stronger, and we're seeing a better balance.
Are things that are normal, regular business tools like lines of credit and things of that nature, are those more difficult now to get than what they were 10 years ago when you guys opened because of some of the stipulations that are now in place by the regulatory community?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, a little harder to qualify somebody for certain types of credits than it was, but it's not a material change.
So what is the biggest, we hear consistently, regularly, that there's a pounds of money available for loans, but that businesses aren't able to qualify for them. Where does that come from?
Okay. there. First of all, there's more cash available than there are sources or needs for loans. Okay, so that's a given right now because of the inflation of the money supply. But is it any harder to get qualified for a loan? Just a little bit, not a whole bunch. And when you hear somebody say that, you know, banks aren't lending to businesses, that's not true. They are lending to businesses, but the businesses have to have a demonstrated ability to repay the loan.
And before that wasn't as stringently adhered to?
No, it was pre-recession. Everybody was doing better than they are now. So there are some challenges with some businesses that are still struggling. But again, you know, it's not really material, the differences.
What about on the consumer side? Consumer credit?
Right? Consumer credit
cards, I mean, they're still jacked up as high as they've ever been. What about for car, for house, for those types of loans that before seemed to be relatively easy to attain?
Consumer credit, which includes mortgages and all that you've named ahead of time there, has been really impacted by the regulatory environment. And there are more consumer protections in place, which means more compliance, which means higher prices. For instance, currently on a mortgage, I can't even order an appraisal anymore. I have to go through a third party to order that appraisal, which means the cost to the borrower is going to be another $200-$300 more. And I have no control over the quality of the appraisal because I don't get to select them. So what we've created is it's more expensive and we're getting a lesser product in many cases. In the name of?
What? Separation?
Protecting the mortgage industry from brokers who were paying appraisers kickbacks to give them the numbers they wanted on an appraisal. That was what was happening prior to the recession. And so this is one of those protections that you put in so that won't happen again. But unfortunately, it slows down the process, makes it more expensive and more difficult to qualify. And so in many ways, it's more difficult to qualify for a loan than it was pre-recession, which is a good thing because it used to be, if you have a pulse, you had a loan. But on the other side, it has increased the costs and it has increased the difficulty in obtaining credit.
So is it a healthier environment today, 10 years down the road, overall?
It was healthier when we opened the bank than it currently is, but it's certainly more healthy now than it was 5 years ago.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Final couple minutes this afternoon with Mr. Dalby. So, John, we've been talking about the last 10 years. Okay, fine. It's really easy to look in the rear view, know where you were as you're going over the cliff or you're doing whatever you're doing. What about the next 10? Do you guys have any idea what the next 10 is going to look like other than different?
Yeah, the challenges that we have in looking at the next 10 years is we need to grow to some degree because, you know, we have to have enough mass to overcome the ever-increasing cost of compliance. Okay, so the regulations are just are going to continue to be piled on, and so the cost of that continues, and so you have to be have enough mass to be able to deal with that. At the same time, we're geographically bound because of the significant differences once we've grown what we can do in Humboldt County to go, you know, Del Norte's a big step, Redding's a big step, anywhere down south is a big step. So those are the things that our board is contemplating, but we certainly see ourselves continuing to grow within the county taking advantage of opportunities as they come up. But
so to be in a liquid position or in a I don't want to say mobile, because a flexible enough position to go boom and seize the moment kind of thing?
Well, we have to be able to move quick enough to take advantage of the opportunities, although I don't see any in the foreseeable future, but you have to look at it and say, okay, what if this happened? What if that happened? But when we look at the next 10 years, you know, really we have a 5-year plan, it's not a 10-year plan, but our 5-year plan, you know, has us continuing to grow within the footprint of Humboldt County. And as you know, later this summer, we'll be opening our Arcata branch. We'll be expanding there.
Pterodactyl U, right?
Exactly. It's actually a Quasiquadalus.
Fine.
you know, and I'm looking forward to opening what I think is the first bank branch in the country to be designed around a pterodactyl.
I'm thinking that would, you're probably going to be the only one that has a pterodactyl as a collection agent also.
I mean, well, no, we have the great white hanging in there.
Oh, okay, true.
That.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So what do you guys see for Humboldt County in the next 10 years?
Well, I think the biggest concern we have would be the legalization of marijuana, and what does that do to our community?
The impact, not the if.
That's yes. And so, you know, a lot of it's speculation as to what it's going to do, but that's something that we look at, and of course we have to be very concerned about because we need to be prepared.
What does the crystal ball look like? It legalizes. What do you guys project for the county?
Certainly there are going to be some businesses that are going to be negatively impacted. I don't see a lot of positive coming out of it for our current economy. But how negative the impact would be, I don't know.
We'll find out together. How's that?
Yeah.
There you All go. Right. Free food Thursday night. Gotta love that.
Come on down.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.